Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host Bob Ginsberg, and tonight Roman Karpyshka, and I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Comlock Center, and they can be found on the web at comlock.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com. Tonight we bring you a very special show on time travel. We will share with you the results of a poll we've taken with our membership. And while there's no special guest tonight, our listeners are our guests. So if you have a question, comment, or anything you'd like to share, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, how about we jump right into this topic?
Yeah, and we're happy, as you mentioned, to be joined by one of our regulars who hosts the show occasionally, and we'll be doing a lot more of that, Roman Karpyshka. Hello, Roman. How are you tonight?
Hey, Bob. Good. Thank you very much. Hi, Fran. How you guys doing?
All right. And as Fran mentioned, every once in a while we put up surveys on the website and leave them up for a while. And time travel is a topic that we don't often talk about. We've had a guest or two over the 10 years or 12 years talking about it. But I was really interested in what our members think about time travel, specifically from the perspective of grief. Because let's face it, that many of us who have lost loved ones, whether that be by accident or by illness, we tend to have a lot of guilt and think about things like, could we have changed, you know, the course of events? If only we did this, and if only we did that, and going back in time theoretically would enable us to do that. And there's many thoughts about the subject, but it's not as far fetched a concept as one might think. Albert Einstein was one that certainly believed that time was not, you know, rigid and unchangeable, and that time could be altered. And he was doing a lot of investigation in that area. And I think we know from regular experience that time seems to change, even in our regular lives. Sometimes you hear people say, "Well, time stood still when faced with a dangerous situation," and things go in slow motion. And I know that scientists have done experiments where they've taken, and I know that this was a past guest was informed us about this, where they took two atomic clocks, and as you know, atomic clocks are about as accurate as you could get, and they put one on a passenger jet that was traveling at the speed of sound, and another one that was stationary, and then when they examined the clocks, the clock on the passenger jet that was traveling at the speed of sound actually lost, you know, a fraction of time. So it's possible, and in the survey, the first question that we asked was, if the technology existed for time travel, would you use it? And I guess, Roman, we haven't had a chance to discuss this before the show, but let me ask you, I mean, would you use it?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in my case, just to save my son's life, I would have definitely done things a little bit differently, and he'd still be here. But, you know, whether or not it would make an effect on the whole picture is a different story and remains to be seen, because I've read a lot of literature that explains that, you know, when we take on a soul contract and incarnate, we have different exit points, and if we don't take one exit point to leave this world, then another one will come up, if one, you know, almost immediately. Some of the literature suggests that, you know, we are here to learn, and, you know, there's soul contracts to experience certain things, whether they're good or bad. And, you know, I think for myself, I would definitely take advantage of the time travel. And as you said, theoretically, it's possible, and it's been demonstrated in very, very micro amounts with the atomic clocks. I believe that was Dr. Ron Mallett who you were speaking about, the past guest from 2008.
Right.
And, by the way, I'm curious. I just listened to the podcast not too long ago just to kind of get some material on the subject, and he was talking about some funding, like $250,000 that he was going to get. And have you heard anything since that about him, or has there been any progress with what he's been trying to do?
As far as I know, you know, the funding never developed. You know, he fights a lot of the same things that we fight in the world of survival, and, you know, mainstream thinking doesn't always come forth with funds for controversial, you know, subjects. And as far as I know, he's still a professor. He's still very much working on the various theories, but you know, the funding for a simulated model has not developed.
Right.
You know, when we talk about would we, you know, time travel, I guess, as you were talking, Roman, and the same scenario for us is that we could have taken theoretically action that would have prevented the loss of our loved ones. People would only want to travel to the past if they had the ability to change the future. You know, maybe just because you went into the past doesn't necessarily mean that you can change the course of events.
Well,
you
might be able to change them, but I'm going back to Roman's other point, which is a very interesting and a point that we talk about a lot, and that people who are very spiritual recognize as absolutely existing. Is that when we make this contract to come here, we're born, and then we are presented with exit points. So if we don't take one, we will be presented with another once we've completed that contract. And is there evidence of this? We've seen a lot of evidence of this, and I think most recently we were discussing one which actually took place on Long Island maybe 2 or 3 years ago, where there was a family out in Eisenhower Park, I believe it was, and there was a sudden lightning storm that took place. And the adult men, were having some game of soccer and quickly ran under the tree to get out of the rain, not realizing that it was going to be lightning. Lightning suddenly started, struck the tree that they ran underneath, and all of the gentlemen were injured and taken to the hospital. One man was not injured. And a week later, was in a separate accident where he died.
Wow.
So that's one example of he had an exit point. For whatever reason, it didn't happen, but a week later that it did. Also, when you talk about the research in near-death experiences, you hear a lot about somebody crossing over, and then after they've been revived and they come back, the explanation of why they came back was they met with loved ones on the other side who said, no, it's not your turn, you have to go back. So at that point, they still had not fulfilled their contract. So there is evidence of what Roman's talking about, that we do have exit points. So even if we were able to go back and change the set of events from that particular time, there still is going to be that exit point that's going to present it to that person.
Yeah, I'm certainly open to that. I often wonder when we talk about, I mean, let's say that you could go back and change events. That could be happening all the time. We just don't know about it. People could be constantly traveling back to the past, changing things, and how would we ever know?
That kind of brings us to the multiverse theory. You know, that's it's a branch of the quantum physics where there's every time a decision is made, it's you know, a path is taken, and the other one that is forgone is another life, pretty much. And all of these, you know, some theories suggest that all of these multiverses exist at the same time. So there is a, you know, there is a situation somewhere in time or in place, I don't know how to put it, where, you know, my son is still alive, you know? And it's mind-blowing to think about that, but, you know, and you know what? Just as a human being, even though we know all of this and all about the exit points, I know that I would still do whatever I can to save, you know, to do the right thing, because my conscience would not let me do otherwise.
Yeah, and your point is well taken, that there could be a situation where, you know, the past, the present, and the future are all taking place simultaneously. So in another specific point in time, our deceased loved ones are still alive.
Right, and the other thing is, if you can travel in time, I mean, there's also the flip side of this whole equation where people will go back in time to get the lottery numbers, right?
Well, we're going to get into some of the reasons that people, first of all, we'll go over the percentages of the people that would use it, and also whether or not they would travel to the past or the future, and the reasons for it might be some surprises. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking a lot more about time travel. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Tuning in, we have a very special show tonight on time travel. Our sponsor tonight is the Comlock Center, and they can be found on the web at comlock.com. Bob?
So, you know, the first question we asked in this survey is, if the technology existed for time travel, would you use it? And I always like to guess on, you know, what the survey results are going to be. So this one surprised me. So let's see if it surprises you, Roman. What percentage of the respondents said that they would use the technology to time travel if it existed? What would you say?
Was it specific whether it was backwards or forwards?
No, just if they would use it.
I would say greater than 50%. That would be my guess.
Well, it is, you know, and I thought it would hover around, you know, 50%, but actually 84.4%.
Wow.
Said that if the technology existed for time travel, they would use it. So, and then the next question would be, would you travel to the past or the future? And the results were, well, let me ask you about your guess on that. Would you think more people would say the past or the future?
I would say overwhelmingly to the past, because I'm sure a lot of people have regrets.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, 66% said that they would travel to the past, and 16.8% answered that they would, you know, travel, you know, to the future. So the next question would be, you know, and then there were people we also asked if they said that they didn't want to time travel, you know, what are the reasons? And there were various cogent reasons for that. One person wrote, you know, I would time travel only if I can be an observer. That was interesting. And not cause any changes to occur. So that's kind of the opposite of what a lot of people would be going to the past for, is to change things. She said, this person said, my interest would be in history, the past, as it influences current times. I don't want to know the future any more than the precognizant experiences may reveal to me. It's entirely possible that time travel has been possible for many years, perhaps centuries, and that we choose to live in a particular time for our own reasons when we reincarnate. So we may have already lived in some future time and have reincarnated in these times for some particular knowledge or understanding.
That brings an interesting concept of, you know, when you're not, when you're in spirit, there really is no time. Time is a man-made construct. We use it. You know, our heart beats a certain amount of time, so you know we keep time with our heart, and the world revolves around the sun and spins on its axis, and you know these are things that we've made up to able to deal with our situation. But when you come to think of it, we are really stuck in the present, right? Because what's happened has happened, and the future is not now, but we're always in the now. Just like Eckhart Tolle is very big into the now, and we're living the present, and you should live in the present and be at peace with where you are now.
Yeah. Well, oddly enough, most religions preach the same thing, you know, that don't worry about, you know, the future, you know, just live in the present, and that's the best way to lead a meaningful life. I don't necessarily agree with it wholeheartedly, but I certainly understand, you know, the concept. I'm reading another answer, which is a bit humorous, and the person says, I would have to trust the technology, and I don't have that trust in technology. Sorely disappointed with the reality of that other time. I'd like faster travel in this lifetime so I could spend a day in Paris and come back home.
That's funny.
Another person says, you know, why they would not want to time travel unless you could change outcomes you don't like. Why worry before you have to? There would be no chance to enjoy the precious moments that we have. It goes back to what you were just saying, Roman, right? Why worry about things? Just live in the moment and enjoy the limited physical allotment of time that we have.
Exactly. Because there's nothing we can do about what's in the past, really. I mean, and that becomes a point of frustration, and you can... If you don't accept it, you can become very, very frustrated with it. So that's all. I think that's the main thing that Eckhart Tolle preaches, is that, you know, just live in the now, live in the present, and yeah. It'll prolong your life. Actually, if you really stay focused in where you are, it's going to be a more fulfilling life.
This next answer is something that I can relate to, because I think I would have the same fear. A person writes, you know, that they would not time travel because they have a fear of not being able to return to the present. Well, that's legitimate fear, right?
This person has watched too many Michael J. Fox movies.
Could be. Yeah. Another person said that they'd be afraid of it. Another person said, I believe that the present is the only place we can be. The only place that the past and the future happen are in our present thoughts.
Well, given our technology, yes. And I think when, you know, I was listening to that Mallet interview, and he said something about the faster you are to the speed of light, the more that the time gets affected. I mean, it got so little affected because a clock was on a jet plane going the speed of sound, which is 700, whatever, Mach 1, but which is really, really slow in compared to the light, you know, traveling at the speed of light. So, I mean, if the technology was there, and we're not even close to that, I don't think it's something that we can foresee in our next, you know, not in our lifetime, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I was just scanning over the reasons that some people said that they would travel to the past, and some of them are obvious because we've discussed them, but one person says, to change the outcome of our loss and thus change our future. There's one that got extremely specific in that vein, saying, to save my identical twin sister's life by both getting our ovaries removed, thus she would not get ovarian cancer. So people certainly have are intrigued by the concept of changing things. That's gonna, and we get back to that same debate about whether we can actually, you know, change the future. I was reading an article in a psychology magazine, and some psychologists did a study where they posed that question about whether people would time travel and whether age had anything to do with it. And in talking about older people, they had two theories. You know, one, that the older people might be hesitant to travel to the future because it would be too overwhelming. But on the other hand, the opposite might be true, because people, they're aware of their limited time that's left, and they're spurred on by the desire to transcend biology, you know, by experiencing the future. So they may be more likely to travel to the future than younger people.
You know, what's pretty interesting is how we relate with time, depending on our age. If you look back to when you were a kid, you know, you had the summers off from school, and it seemed to last forever. You know, when you're a kid and you have no worries and all that, you know, I'm talking like 10 years old or something like that. And that's a very different experience from somebody who's in their 70s and 80s, who's living day by day, and just, you know, the hours are just flying by. You know, I hear this a lot where, you know, the older you get, the faster time seems to move. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just talking about that the other day. You know, as a kid, the summers just never ended. You know, they lasted seemed like to us, you know, an eternity. I mean, there was time for everything. And now, you know, as in my working life, you know, people would say, well, in August, like, how's your summer going? And I'd stop and say, summer?
Summer? Yeah, exactly. What summer?
And before you know it, it's, you know, back to shoveling snow. But I've also experienced, we talked about time standing still or getting into a zone. I've had times in my life in sports. It didn't happen very often, but every once in a while you get into that zone and things slow down, and you're seems like you're able to do anything, like you're in a different time warp, you know. And people get into sorts of zones, you know, in meditative states. So,
I've had that with music.
Oh,
sometimes you get into a really good jam with some buddies, and time just stands still. The jam lasts forever, and you know, that's the whole key to, you know, this band called Fish, and what was that, Jerry Garcia, the Grateful Dead, that whole thing, that whole concept of this, these super long jams, they just got into it, and the audience got into it, and time stands still. That's why it was so addictive.
Yeah. And reading some of the reasons from this professional study, I mean, they broke it down. It was a lot more extensive study than our, you know, little survey. They analyzed the reasons behind time travel preference, and they found that 11% wanted to relive a particular episode of the past. 29% wanted to travel to the past to gain some strategic information that could be used in the present.
Lottery numbers.
Right. Going back to what you said, 5% wanted to learn about the future of their children or grandchildren. And a whopping 41% wanted to experience great cultural or religious events in either the past or the future. And the rest weren't classifiable. So those are some, you know, pretty interesting reasons. But the 29%, or almost 30% that wanted to gain some strategic information, that's understandable.
Right.
Everybody knows what to do. I go back and I could buy...
Google.
Yeah, Google at $1 a share.
Exactly. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think is that we had that the today's generation of kids don't have is I think we experienced things because we didn't have phones. We didn't have iPhones and iPads and computers. We went outside and we played and we built go-karts and we scraped our knees. And, you know, we got in trouble. And it was a simpler life back then. And I'm just looking at, you know, my kids. And you want your kids to keep up with everybody else and, you know, do the right thing and all that. But, you know, they're experiencing everything vicariously through the phone. And it's not the same. I don't think they're having the same type of life that we had, you know?
No, and it's an interesting point as relating to the nature of time, because we live in an era of instant information. So I posed a problem to you you can find out the answer today in 10 seconds. So, you know, time is not a factor. Whereas when I was going to school and you posed that same problem to me, I'd have to get on a bus and go to a library and search out the reference books and take copious notes and then get back on the bus and go back home, which might take 6 or 7 hours instead of 10 seconds. So what does that say about the nature of time?
Exactly, and that's probably why time is not as valued as it used to be, because
true.
Of instant gratification. So it's crazy what's happening, and I don't think I like it. I mean, I'm not saying that it's wrong. It just is. That's what it is, and it's scary. It's scary to see what the future holds.
Yeah. Well, my biggest fear with this instant information stuff is that it tends to discount the value of creative thought. Because, you know, why do you have to come up with ideas if all the information's at your fingertips, you know?
Of any thought.
Yeah.
Because they'll Google something or they'll ask Siri a question, and the answer that comes up first is the answer that they go with. There's no thought that goes into them analyzing the information and saying, this is real, this is not real. Well, what if I delve deeper into the question? Will I find better information? They don't. They're very surface explorations, and when you get your piece of information, that's it.
Right.
And it doesn't go any further, and it doesn't require you to think.
Right.
Like
Wikipedia,
for example, is full of flaws. I mean, a lot of people rely on it, saying it's the gospel. It must be true because it's in Wikipedia. Wikipedia is written by some people and edited by other people, and everybody puts their own spin on things, and doesn't make it necessarily right.
That's true. You know, here's an interesting answer about wishing to travel to the past. They would want to travel to the past because to the time when my children were small and we were together as a family enjoying all this earth experience has to offer. What a great time we had and how much I took it for granted.
Huh? Amen.
Right.
That is a great answer, and I would concur with that statement, that's for sure.
Yeah. Another one, you know, which is reunited with their loved one again. One person writes, if possible, to correct past mistakes, to apologize or tell friends and loved ones whom are on the other side all the things I wished I would have said or done while their physical body was still here, to get one more hug, to hold my mom's hand, and so much more. All the things I think that the feelings that many of us share. Another one, to mend the ways with the wrong decisions and acts I may have committed, and to thank those who, along the way, were kind to me in ways that they may not have known. Correct poor choices that I've made. There's an undercurrent in all these responses of correcting wrongs, you know?
Right, absolutely.
And I think that's something that we tend to think of more as we age, right?
More experiences. You got more things that you did wrong.
Right.
To make up for it, you know.
It speaks loudly to human nature. I mean, I'm sure there's not a person walking the face of this earth who doesn't regret one thing or another in their life. But isn't that part of the human experience to do things and learn by them? That's what we're here for.
Yeah,
I think the harder the lesson, the better we learn. If it comes easy to us, you're not going to retain it. You're not going to remember it.
Yeah. So how would that work if the technology existed to time travel? So every time that you screwed up, you just tap in the time capsule and correct it, and then come back.
Right.
Theoretically, would never make any mistakes.
And you know, people are. You know, there's a lot of materialists out there. And the material sciences are, you know, they're the most, unfortunately, they're very influential in how many people think. That might be a good thing because, you know, we have, you and I and Fran and, you know, we've been diving into the afterlife studies and we've read books and volumes and interviewed people and, you know, it fascinates us. And we've done our homework and we, you know, you get to know what's coming after, you know, after we leave this physical world. But for most people, that's not the case. And what you just said before just triggered my thought that, you know, a reset button. You know what I mean? If things aren't going your way, if everybody was 100% convinced that, you know, you get another shot at it, you know, people might be offing themselves, you know, and that's not a good thing either. I might be going a little bit extreme in my example, but I'm just trying to bring up some interesting talking points, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think as Fran was alluding to, I mean, maybe life is meant to be the way it is, you know, to make mistakes and to learn by them and to try to grow and
to have a little bit of mystery.
Yeah.
Right, but if we also accepted the concept of the multiverse, which I think we're pretty much there with that, then even if you were able to use this great eraser and erase, go back in time and erase something that you did wrong, all you're doing is creating yet another multiverse, another...
Yeah, and don't forget, yep. Don't forget by going back and correcting things, I mean, you have no idea what the ripple effects throughout the universe would be.
Right,
you might correct one tiny little thing and change the world.
But you only corrected it for your own physical being. It's this, if there's still past, present, and future, it still already existed. You just left that multiverse chapter behind, went back to another one where it didn't yet happen.
Right.
So you didn't
fix
anything.
Right.
You just satisfied yourself.
And
yep,
you know,
absolutely.
It's just it's like, a little.
I'll tell you one thing, and you know, I had that my big regret of, you know, when my son passed away. But if he didn't pass away, I wouldn't have had my two other beautiful children that came after him. There's no way we would have had them. So, you know, there's a reason for everything.
Yeah. I suppose there is.
And this is where you want to go ahead in the future and see why those two came upon this earth.
We're going to go to a break. We'll come back. We're going to read a lot of answers about why people would like to travel to the future. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
We have been talking about time travel. Our sponsor tonight is the Comlock Center, and they could be found on the web at comlock.com. And now here are some updates on Forever Family Foundation events and happenings. First of all, don't miss our upcoming winter grief retreat in warm and beautiful Florida this coming January 5th through 7th. That's 2018. Each year, Forever Family Foundation facilitators work with only 50 guests who come from across the globe to spend an all-inclusive weekend with like-minded people in a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. The weekend features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Joseph Scheel, Janet Nohavec, and Doreen Malloy, who will be working alongside Dr. Mo Hanna and the rest of our professional staff. 2018 may sound far, but it's only 3 weeks away. So book your spot now, and let's now talk about our Holidays Past raffle, which is next week, December 23rd. So buy your raffles now, and you can win as many as 5 readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Renata Santarelli, Renee Buck, Eliza Ray, Catherine Nadal, and Neil Zapowski. It's only $5 to enter, and it certainly helps us pay the bills. Our next Afterlife Luncheon is scheduled for May 6th, 2018, at the Hilton in Huntington, New York, and features the author of The Happy Medium, none other than The Happy Medium herself, Forever Family Foundation certified medium Kim Russo. Joining Kim for the afternoon is one of the world's leading parapsychologists and respected expert on ghosts, hauntings, and poltergeist phenomena, Lloyd Auerbach. So make your reservations now for a full day that includes a scrumptious luncheon. And remember to always check the events page on our website regularly for all information on our events and announcements. That's www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And all reservations can be made online. Please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. Back to you, Bob.
And we're here talking about time travel, and specifically the survey that was on our website. And among those people that said that they wish to travel to the future, one response popped out at me. The person says, "I'd love to see where I'm headed beyond Earth." And then she writes, or he, NDE. That's an interesting, you know, concept, you know, traveling to the future for the express purpose of to see what happens after we die, right?
Right.
You know, so traveling future time travel could be looked upon as a similar to a near-death experience.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that, and this is one of the things that was explored in that professional survey, but do you think that those who desire to travel to the future are also the ones who fear death the most? So in other words, if you have a fear of death, then you want to go forward to see what happens, maybe how you die, where you go.
Or the legacy you leave behind.
Yeah,
I can definitely see that being part of the psyche.
Yeah. Another person writes, "Well, I'll go to the future because then, you know, I can gain knowledge that can be brought back and used here in the present. Also, just curious to see what will happen in the future." But curiosity, I don't sell that short. A lot of people are just very simply curious, and they don't want to go for any specific reason other than seeing where the technology leads us, seeing how our kids grow up, seeing how our efforts maybe to change the world, if they ever, you know, came into fruition. So,
seeing if the world still exists.
Yeah.
Also, that's
good,
right.
Good question.
Yeah. So if you travel to the future and the world doesn't exist, then it's kind of important for you to be able to get back, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Then when I said call your congressman, you should have done it.
There's another comment, travel to the future just to see what's in store. Curiosity, right? Mm-hmm. To see and learn about my descendants and their successes in life and how they live. Along that same theme, I'd love to see what the future looks like, all the progress. Would humanity still exist? Would we be much more compassionate? And I'd love to learn what science would teach us over the coming centuries. All legitimate. To become aware of my choices and the choices of the human race, to understand if today's choices definitely affect the future, then we could have knowledge to perhaps change things. So a lot of people said the same thing about going into the past, right, to learn how they could change things in the future. But here it's the opposite. You know, you go to the future, so you have knowledge to change things in the past, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Works both ways. Curiosity about what's coming up. Hopeful that things are improved. Not sure I would want to go back into the past and try to change things. I would be more open to looking at the future and seeing the technology. You know, I would imagine that's going to be a common theme among the millennials and people that are rely on today's technology and are very, very tech-savvy is to see, you know, if you ask the kids, they'll probably see what the next generation of gaming is like, right?
Or It boggles the mind about technology and how kids are so savvy about it. My 13-year-old daughter can run circles around me on anything electronic. And for her, I mean, she just takes it for granted that this is part of life and doesn't know anything else. And something that would take me, I mean, I finally mastered Excel spreadsheets. And, you know, for me, that's a big accomplishment. But for my daughter, who's 13, she's already doing things and, you know, doing modeling and doing programming, like, at a, you know, using Visual Basic in school. And it's stuff that I just can't fathom. And for her, it's like, boop, just done, you know. Very simple.
Yeah.
Right, but when they become adults, they're going to have their own challenges. Like, to us, it was the technology that they find so easy for themselves now, mm-hmm. but they're not going to adapt as well to what's coming up next. I really think that what that is artificial intelligence, and they're not going to be able to deal with it as well as their offspring will be able to.
Right. There's always something new, something newer and better.
New, right.
It's the circle of life.
What if you did, if you were able to travel into the future and you fast-forwarded, 50, 60 years, and you saw yourself residing in a realm very much similar to what the picture that's painted by, you know, media channel mediumship accounts, where we're in a realm that's of thought and it's beautiful and vibrant colors and vibrant music and knowledge and travel throughout the universe by thought, and what would we do? I mean, if when we came back, would that would we live our lives differently? Would we have this strong desire to get back in that machine and not come back? I mean, do you think in the nature of time, would you have the option, the same way that near-death experiencers say that they don't want to come back? Well, maybe if the technology exists, you really don't have to. You know, this
very interesting.
The concepts.
I'm sorry. I think that what you just described is somebody going into a near-death experience, and I think the effect would be the same as for somebody that's going through a near-death experience, or that somebody that went through a near-death experience, which is typically they become more spiritual, less materialistic, and just kinder people. They just become more kinder and loving people, more compassionate.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how many people would still answer that they'd like to use the technology if it was a one-way ticket.
You didn't ask that question.
No.
You've got people signed up on that trip to Mars, which is a one-way ticket.
Yeah. I know personally I was never so much intrigued by traveling to the future, but I was always attracted to the past, especially when I look at antiques or I look at old civilizations, just to wonder what it was like. I'm always curious about what it would be like. Now, once there, living in without any of the modern conveniences, maybe I wouldn't be so thrilled to stay. But nonetheless,
you mean like flush toilets?
yeah, I wouldn't want a one-way ticket, but boy, I sure would like to see how things develop. So, the bottom line is, getting back to the original intent of such a survey is that, and you've addressed it, somewhat, and that is how we have this natural inclination when we suffer a trauma, whether it's a physical loss or a mental trauma, to be able to go back and change things. We've always, as a people, since the beginning of man, have always wished that we can change our actions and change the course of events. If only, you hear that all the time. If only, if only, if only.
And right, and that's what separates us from animals, right? You don't hear a dog saying, "If only I can, change back time." And they're happy. They're very happy with where they are,
And maybe the answer is what we said at the top of the show is that maybe it's not an if only, and maybe we're beating ourselves up for no sound reason. That these are all either they're all points in time, and that our actions come to realization in other realms that still exist, or we have certain exit points that really can't be changed. They could be modified and shifted, but not postponed.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if they're postponed, it's very, very small postponement.
Right. Well, we're reaching the end of the show. I know, unfortunately, the healing list keeps growing every week. It takes longer and longer to get through it. But Roman, thanks for joining in our discussion tonight.
My pleasure.
I know that we have an exciting new show that Roman's going to be hosting, so there's more details on that to come. But right now, it's time to give our closing announcements.
Okay, we now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Doreen Malloy, Kimberly Saavedra, and Ashley Jackson, Robin Murray, Peanut Enton, Fred Folger, Michael Tim, David Haith, Glenna Irwin, Marian Pierishka, Diane Archangel, Isabel Ginsberg, Vince Mattia, Lauren Ramnath, Rich LeBly, Helen Montalto, Cynthia Post, Evelyn Ingram, Tina Young, Donna Mello, Matt Mello, Veronica James, Alex Hanna, Catherine Pye, Linda Ellis, Eddie Coons, Sandy Rabel, and Ed O'Brien. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to a fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say...
Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.